time to see what's happening in the social media world, how things are changing with all the coronavirus news. Scott Kleinberg, social media strategist, is with us. So what's new in our homebound world today, Scott?
Yeah, morning, Bob. Quite a bit, actually. And I thought I would start with Zoom, which, you know, everybody's been talking a lot about Zoom lately as the go-to for video conferencing. They've been getting some negative press lately because of some pretty serious security lapses and concerns. And one thing that's really weird, Zoom is not new. A lot of people think it's new, but it's been around since 2011. I've used it for many, many years, but usually it's for work, for enterprise, and not very much for personal use. But because it's so compatible, it has a mobile component, it has an app, it's become a favorite. And that rising demand is why the company is having so many problems. It exposed all these flaws in the system. So, like, the FBI even came out and said, you have to watch out for these potential risks and, you know, outside elements. And it's just become a really dangerous thing. But I know that they're working on it. They say they're working on it. And the reason I know they're working on it is because on my computer and my phone, I get updates every single time that there's a new, you know, change to an app. I've gotten 6 so far for Zoom. And each one says, we're making changes to make your Zoom time better. You know how they always say that? And This is exactly what that is. So they're working really, really hard to fix these things. And, you know, we have to hope that they do that, because otherwise we're all using a very dangerous system.
When I first heard the term Zoom bombing, I thought that was like photo bombing, but that's not what it means, is it?
In a way it is, it's not, but in a way I wish it was photobombing, because that would be better in this case. Yeah. You know, you definitely do not want to be Zoom bombed. I mean, in most basic terms, it's when an uninvited guest crashes your Zoom meeting, but the thing is they often share some pretty offensive stuff while that's going on. And this is part of the thing that Zoom is working on to fix, but it's one of those things that they're going to have to really work hard to stay in front of. In a nutshell, if you've ever heard those stories about how when you have an in-home camera, when you have a baby monitor and someone hacks it, it's because they come with like this really default simple password. We've talked about passwords all the time. Don't use 123456 as your password. Well, these things have that, and there are all these hackers out there, and now, because everybody's staying home, a lot of people with a lot of extra time, they're looking to wreak havoc. They're looking to cause problems. So they basically found a really easy way to break into Zoom. They break into your meeting, because your meeting is public, and they do these things. So hopefully now, with the security they're adding, you know, there's passwords, there's a way for you to enter a meeting and stay in a meeting room lobby so you don't start the meeting too soon. If they do all of these things the way they're supposed to, that shouldn't be a problem going forward.
Hopefully. And we're doing a lot of Googling these days. What's up with Google?
Well, you know, they're doing a bunch of different things. They're taking into account that everybody is remote, of course. So their latest contribution, they're donating this package. They're calling it a donation package, and it's valued at about $800 million, which seems pretty substantial. I've seen some bigger ones, so I don't know, you know, if this is going to be the end of what they're doing. But basically, they're putting that money towards a range of charities and ways to help lessen the pandemic. They've taken $6.5 million. Now, that's a very small number of this $800 million, so I really hope they do more with this. But they're taking $6.5 million to fund supporting fact-checkers and nonprofit organizations that are working really hard to make sure that this misinformation that's out there is not necessarily spread and become a problem. And we've talked about before, it's what all the social platforms are doing in a way. Facebook has been doing it, but now Google is trying to do it as well. And they're also doing something new. They just announced this yesterday evening. They're working on an effort to map out how people are working from home and whether or not they're adhering to social distancing guidelines. So when you were talking about before about the nice day and not going out on the lakefront, they're trying to figure out ways to see if whether or not that's working by looking at the data of Google users.
And I bet the Facebook data must be off the charts as far as how much we're going to Facebook now. What do they tell us?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. Facebook activity for, you know, they have all these different apps. They have Messenger and WhatsApp and Instagram, and all of that data feeds into what you're talking about. Messaging activity is up 50%. 60%. Live video on Messenger is up 70%. So that data, just like we're talking about with Google, that data is they can do all kinds of stuff with that, which is, you know, absolutely fantastic. Their Data for Good team, which is a really great name for a team, they're working on tools exactly like Google is doing to see if the preventative measures are working. Now, one of the things about data is normally it's proprietary. If you think about how Apple does things, it's very secretive and they don't want you to know what's happening. But in this case, I have a very strong feeling from things I've read and things that I'm gleaning that maybe not Apple, but Facebook and Google are absolutely going to work together on this data. And, you know, as you say, if you take all that amazing amount of data and combine it together, they can probably do some really, really great things. There are some countries that have actually tracked phones with GPS to see where people are going. We're not at that point because I don't know how that would fly here, but this is definitely the next best thing.
Scott, I know you normally don't talk much about Snapchat, but now that you're home so much like the rest of us, are you finally getting into that?
You know what, Bob? I think I would have to stay home for years and years and years to actually get into Snapchat. But that doesn't mean that I'm not following what they're doing. So there's that. So they are pointing out, and a very, very good point, actually, I will admit, they're saying that in a global crisis, it is not the time and not the right time to promote your brand, unless your brand has something to do specifically with the coronavirus. You know, you got to be, basically, you have to be careful that you're not just using social media, Snapchat in this case, business as usual. You have to create thoughtful messages and valuable experiences for people using Snapchat. Now, these are practices that are true, you know, anytime. Time at all, but they should be particularly top of mind during uncertain times. So here's an example. They recommend spreading positivity by giving Snapchatters something to smile about. That sounds like such a basic thing to say, but if you think about it, everybody is so overwhelmed. There's so much anxiety that a little bit of smiling could really make a huge difference. You may have seen that a lot of people are playing games online because they don't have anything else to do, and many people are turning to their phones to play while at home. There are brands out there that are making games out of their advertisements. If you want to do something like that on Snapchat, they can help you do that. And the other thing they mentioned is health. Health, well-being, and meditation are the three things that are top of mind, they find. So basically, Snapchatters are looking for inspiration for their at-home workouts. If you can find some way to be on Snapchat, help people maintain their fitness goals, make them feel good about what's going on, make them feel relaxed, then you've done your job, and they're trying to make sure that people who use Snapchat follow that suit.
There you go, Snapchat, not just for the youngsters anymore. It's Scott Kleinberg, social media strategist. Let's get to some of these tips that Facebook is providing while we work at home. What are some good ones, Scott?
You know, I'll tell you, these are good, but one thing I want to point out, these are important no matter what we're going through, whether we're stuck at home or whether we're in the office. Number one is protect your passwords. I mean, we just talked about that a few minutes ago. Don't take chances that your password is easy to guess. You always have hackers out there. You always have people who are looking to get in. But again, you also have a lot of bored people who are looking to cause mischief, and that can actually be a thing. So make it unique. Make sure your account stays secure. You are the first defense against that. Number two, this is an important one. Turn on login alerts. This is something in your settings where basically it will let you know if someone tries to log into your account from a device that you don't recognize. And this is really important just in case someone somewhere decides to do something that is impure. This will help you know where it's happening and it can stop it. This along the same line, number three, review your logins. So you can have, this is a separate feature though, you can have Facebook show you where you're logged in currently, and you can automatically be logged out if you don't recognize the device. And here is a really, really good example. So I do this 4 times a year, I do these types of things to make sure that I don't forget. And that's like something I've always recommended. When I moved to New York City from Chicago, I saw in my 3-month check after I had moved that I was still signed into Facebook on the work computer that I left behind at the company at the Chicago Tribune. So all I had to do was click a button that said log out, and I was logged out. So that's really important, just in case you log in somewhere. If you happen, I know a friend who went to an Apple store, logged into Facebook, and never logged out, that's something you absolutely want to be careful of. And number four, this is, I don't even know which one of these, Bob, is most important because they're all important. Watch for phishing scams. If you get an email asking you to enter a password, it's not a real email. Let's put it that way. Any email that says enter your password is not real. There are already scams out there, Bob. This is not too surprising, I'm sad to say. But there are already scams out there saying if you want more information about your $1,200 coronavirus stimulus check, enter your username and password here. That is not real, and you want to be very, very careful of that.
You know what I've noticed recently, listening to a lot of people on Facebook Live or FaceTime or Zoom, people seem to neglect the audio in a lot of these too, and also they don't know where to put the camera. What can you tell us about that?
Well, very good point. I can tell you, okay, let's start with audio. If you're using Zoom or you're using Slack or you're using something else, almost all of these programs, and they're not front and center, but somewhere they have an audio and video test. So first thing to do is go to the preferences for that particular app and look for something called audio and video test. I know in Zoom, since everybody is using Zoom, it is under preferences and it's called audio and video. So the video makes sure that you can see and that you can be seen. The video makes it so if your computer or your phone is not situated in the right way, maybe your eyes are looking the wrong way. This can really help you practice where you should be looking. And in terms of the audio, it plays a series of tones. So make sure you can hear the audio. Then you get an opportunity to record your voice and make sure that you can hear the playback. So you want to make sure that your speakers are working. You want to make sure that your microphone is working before you actually start the call. And you can do this before every single meeting that you have. I would say normally that it would carry over and once is enough, but the way I am, because I'm so careful, I check my audio and video before every single meeting that I have.
Yep, good idea. And now with everybody at home, the kids are around at times, there's a lot of background noise, so you got to get familiar with muting the microphone, don't you?
Yes. Muting your microphone is the new reply all from email. You know, when you're in your office and someone sends an email and says, what would you like for breakfast during the meeting? Please reply to the organizer. And you hit reply all, and all of a sudden, 100 people know your favorite bagel. That drives you crazy. That's what's happening now with mute your microphone. You should do that anyway, in any office setting, but people are just letting it go. So what you have is you have 10 people or 5 people getting on a call. You have all this noise in the background, you have the kids running around, you have outside noise, and all of a sudden you have this echo and a headache. All you need to do is just mute your microphone. You can do that as part of your test that you do that we just talked about, and that way it doesn't overwhelm the other callers. And like I said, it's a best practice anyway, but there's no better time to do it than right now.
Scott Kleinberg, hey, you're the best, Scott. Thanks as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Take care, Bob.